is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
By not doing the things they ought to do, they are doing things that are contrary to the things that they ought to be doing. And it seems the difference is what they're doing and what they believe to be the master's delay, their free time. Their free time is revealing who they are. Are they a faithful servant watching the house or not? Probably one of the important aspects of the free time, why Jesus left. Given you Holy Spirit, He's going to empower, you're going to follow, and it will make a difference in the lives of those who belong and those who just say they belong.
The conversion of a person's heart toward Jesus is crucial, but salvation doesn't end once that takes place. We've all been given gifts by God, and He expects us to use them for discipleship. Today, Pastor Troy will explain what that means as we find out what it means to be ready and live out the ministry Jesus planned for us. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with part two of his message entitled, Be Ready.
What confuses everyone is, he gives very detailed instruction about once the rapture happens, or actually once this covenant is signed, there's a specific period of time. In fact, when the Antichrist rises and calls himself God, sets himself up to be God in the temple, he gives a specific number of days. And so they say, but we'll know because of the number of days, just as the Jews should have predicted and known that the day Palm Sunday was the day he was going to enter, they should know then by when these things take place. But the idea is, yeah, you can calculate this, but you won't know what hour or time. Like for us, around 2 o'clock today, we're going to go, well, it looks like the Lord probably won't come today. Go to bed at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, he's probably not coming. And then 11 o'clock at night, boom, there he is. So at the end, it could be that way. Or if we just consider the whole day, that whole period of time, it could be this. And this may be some of what he is talking about. We don't know when the rapture will happen, that's for sure. We don't know that. He told us we don't know that. Happens suddenly, in a moment. It could happen at any time. And because we don't know when the rapture happens, which sets us into that day of the Lord, which is part of it, it's the very beginning of it, Jesus' return is the very end of it, the two bookends, that as a whole, we won't know when he's physically coming because we don't know when he's coming for his church. We don't know when it's all going to kick off. We don't know. And that's his point. Be ready because you don't know. So more than trying to figure out which end it is or which one it is, his thing is you don't know, so just be ready. He says you won't know that, but know this, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In other words, you don't have to know exactly when it is. It's better that you don't. Instead, just be ready because you know He is coming. Like someone who would watch a house. They said, someone's going to come and try to steal from your house tonight. You'd want to know what time it is, but even without knowing exactly what time it is, you would stay up all night, making sure things were safe, things were in order, so that nothing got stolen. That's the idea here. You know it's going to happen. You know the time. You know the about. You just don't know the exact when. So be ready. Be ready now. Pass it on. Be ready. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we read, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." That would be the beginning. Everything is ushered into that time, that 7-year period. "As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." I read that eagles have such good vision that they can be flying 600 feet above the earth and spot an object the size of a dime in 6 inches of grass. I mean, that's amazing vision. From the air, an eagle can see a 3-inch fish jumping from 5 miles away. I mean, that's some vision. It's the way God made them, so that they can hunt, survive. But God gives us something even more significant than that, and it's called spiritual vision. You see, we don't know when all this will kick off, but we can see by prophetic scripture, by the scriptures, we can see what no one else is seeing. And we can see it right now. It just makes sense what's going on in the world. Do you like it? No, I don't like it anymore. Do we want to do our part and try to make sure that we reach out to as many as possible before everything begins to really speed up and unfold? We should. It should motivate us that it's coming. But we can see things unfolding. The more you're in the scriptures, the more you know the Lord and you sense His plan, the more everything in the world begins to make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. Paul said, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." In other words, these things don't make sense to them, though. They don't get it. They don't understand. "It's foolishness to him," he said. "Neither can they know, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually blind." They can't see. They don't get it. Doesn't make sense to them. But for those of you who believe the Word of God, you know what I'm talking about. It makes perfect sense. You see it. And there's nothing you can do about it, because it's God's plan. It's unfolding, ready or not. Knowing the Word of God and seeing all of the signs around, it should be a motivator for those who live by faith. See, that's what it means to live by faith. You live because you see that. You live because you look for the kingdom that's not here on earth, but that is to come. And you live for that kingdom, and you build for that kingdom, not for this kingdom. But so many aren't living by faith. See, those who don't live by faith, they live for this life. They live for what's going on here. Try to get everything out of this place. When Jesus said, there's no sacrifice you could make in this place and in this life that won't be so much more rewarded in heaven. The most difficult thing you think you might have to give up here because the Lord's put His finger on it. Oh, it's so hard, man. This is a sacrifice. He says, there's no sacrifice you make that I will not more, so much more reward in heaven. The more difficult the sacrifice seems and feels, the more faith it requires, the more faith you demonstrate in trusting Him over what I want, and the more reward He wants to give. And so many of us are not willing to receive the reward. We want what we get down here, the stuff that will never be talked about. I know we can go to our offices, we can go to our workplaces, we can talk about all that we're doing here, all that we've acquired, all that we have, all that we've done, all that we've experienced here, coffee shop talk and all of that. But in heaven, it won't be in the conversation, it won't be anything significant at all. What'll be significant is those people who spent all those hours praying. No one ever knew. That's all they could do. Maybe they were wheelchair bound and seemed insignificant to anybody else. And all they did was pray, pray, pray. When any issue came up, they prayed. And God in heaven, as they're able to walk and rejoice, says, man, let me tell you about this person. Like, who? That person went to our church. I saw them. They were in a wheelchair. Yeah, and we prayed for them and all that stuff. I'm trying to lift them up. He says, no, no. You don't get it. Because they were in that wheelchair, they couldn't be about all the other distractions. And so they committed their heart and their life to prayer. And I will tell you, everything that came up, I went through them. I passed it through them. I made sure they were aware because they prayed. That's great in the kingdom of heaven. Not what we think we're doing for the Lord here. Not the stuff we're not willing to sacrifice and hold on to here. Those things won't even be talk in heaven. We have spiritual vision, and we're to live by faith. The scripture says that the just shall live by faith. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, that's the first problem, and begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat, drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of it, will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I want you to notice that this hypocrite referred to him also as master. My master. Jesus is not talking about atheists here. Jesus is not talking about those who deny the Lord and say, I'm in sin, I don't care. If I go to hell, it's probably going to be more fun there. He's not talking about them. He's talking about those who would consider him their master and knows they ought to be about certain things, but aren't. They don't. In fact, by not doing the things they ought to do, they are doing things that are contrary to the things that they ought to be doing. And it seems the difference is what they're doing and what they believe to be the master's delay. Their free time. Their free time is revealing who they are. Are they a faithful servant watching the house or not? Probably one of the important aspects of the free time. Why Jesus left. I've given you a Holy Spirit. He's going to empower. You're going to follow. And it will make a difference in the lives of those who belong and those who just say they belong. As we see later in a later parable, the follower is one who serves as the hands and feet of Jesus. The follower is one who is getting his house in order, keeping things in the order the master desires. And it's all despite the long delay of the master. They're ready. They're prepared. The hypocrite, and I want you can go ahead and read ahead because it's kind of more of the same. He really even dives further into this same point about a separation because of the delay, about those who are doing and those who just say or don't. We'll talk about the talents, what God gives, and what he thinks about the one who, though he has, doesn't invest for the Lord. And we'll see that he's not too happy about that. The hypocrite uses the long delay as an opportunity for self-indulgence and to neglect the work, to be lazy and just enjoy life. It's easy to say, I believe, right? Anyone could say that. You believe? I believe. You can understand the new believer. The new believer, they've got a lot to learn. They do a lot of wrong things. You got to give grace. I mean, we don't know. I mean, even as long as you walk with the Lord, there's still stuff that you're doing. You think you're okay. Then you start reading another scripture. Or you run across someone who's more mature and you go, really? Oh, yeah, I guess I do need to adjust a few more things. And the young believer, even more so, they don't know. They're growing. They need discipleship. But what about those who do know the Bible? Maybe they grew up in a Christian home. Maybe they've been around the Lord walking supposedly with him for 20 years. There's a problem there. Some of it could be the church isn't teaching the Bible. I don't know. Some of it could be the church is doing their job, but the people, they just applaud the studies and go on living their lives without ever getting in the Bible for themselves. Whatever it is, God seems to be pretty serious about this difference between those who are living and prepared and preparing, and those who would call him master and are not. And it's a big difference. So what are you doing with the delay, with your master's absence? What are you doing with your freedom? What is it that you do? Are you preparing? Like the parable of the wedding guest that we looked at, are you getting dressed for heaven? It's in Revelation 19:8. David pointed this out when I went over this text and speaks about the white linen of the bride and how it's the righteous acts of the saints. Are you walking by faith so that you won't be naked in heaven? So that there's material to build with because you're walking by faith instead of by sight? How do you prepare so that you're spared the judgment rather than swept away in it? Just a few things. It's not really this, just to simplify it. One, get saved. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. It starts there. Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Believe in him. Believe what he said about himself. Believe that he is alive and listen for his voice. You will not be disappointed because he's alive. It sounds easy, too easy to go, you know, free. Just believe in him and it's free. But listen, I never said it was free. No one said it was free. It's a free gift, but the gift was still paid for. He paid the price by his death on the cross. So believe in him, the one who paid it all. Two, get built. We're to be like the man who knew the master was coming back. He didn't know when, but he was prepared. So when didn't matter because he was ready. We're to be like that man. Start growing in the Lord. Like Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be content with your walk as it is. Ask, what else do you want from my life, Lord? What do you want to change? What needs to be addressed or dealt with? Because there is something. I guarantee you. Jesus didn't say, go make converts of the world. He said, make disciples. Now, what that means for us is that you didn't become a convert. You were to become a disciple, a follower, someone who was ever growing in the Lord. I love to see people come to faith. I love it. But what I really love is to watch them grow, to discover, to see their life start to become orderly and God-honoring. The simplest discoveries, you know, are profound to them. And though it's not profound to me, it excites me. It's like, man, that's true. You just operate by these principles now because we've been doing it for so long, but it is exciting. And you have done a lot in us, Lord. And we need that newness, but we need to grow. So get built, but also get active. Don't sit around and watch other people serving the Lord. Don't sit around and be inspired at other people evangelizing and sharing their faith and doing things to serve the Lord. Don't do that. It's like what we do with TV. We watch actors, we watch the Rockies, and they get in shape and they win the fight and they make the comeback and they do all this while all we do is sit on the couch and watch it. Boy, I wish that could happen in my life. It'll never happen in your life. As long as you're sitting there watching. But if you'll get up and stop watching those actors and fakes, and you become a real person allowing those things to happen, then your life will change. You have gifts and you have talents that God wants to use. So use them. Do. Stop watching. Do. Use them for the kingdom of God. Invest yourself and your gifts in the body of Christ. You have them. And if others aren't appreciating them, that's not really the call. The call isn't to be appreciated. Sometimes you will. Sometimes the thanks is there. God will sustain you just enough. But very often it's not. And our satisfaction comes primarily from knowing I am serving the Lord. I'm doing what he wants and I'm using what he's given me to do it. It's not any better. Sometimes I wish it was better. Sometimes I wish I had more. But I know that all I can do is offer what God has given me. And let me tell you guys this. Compared to some that I minister into the world outside of the church, some whose lives are falling apart, many of you who are sitting in this fellowship right here, right now, you could probably be teaching a lot of them. Because they don't know anything. So your need, my need, our need is not for more Bible teaching. Our need is to wring out the sponge and to minister to those who have need. The lost. We need to be ready. We need to live it. We need to wring it out into the world, not in more church circles. Please understand this. Don't go to another church circle and minister there. That's fine. That's great. It's the world who needs it. The lost, they need it. They're the ones who know so little. But we keep going to these little circles that have been doing it 20 years and are still unchanged. Like beating our heads and, oh, Lord, I'm so frustrated. I'm so tired. Go where it's needed. Go in the world. I heard about a popular Christian musician back in the 80s who approached a pastor. And despite all the great things God was doing, so much God was doing in his life, using him and his music, he showed up and he said, you know, I'm just bummed. I'm so down. I'm so discouraged. And this pastor, I believe, and you'll understand when I say, tell you what he said, I believe it was Romaine, who was Pastor Chuck Smith's assistant pastor. And Romaine said straight up, your problem is you're absorbed with yourself. That's your problem. That doesn't sound very kind to say to a guy who's like, I'm so discouraged, I'm so down, I'm so depressed. Yeah, you're self-absorbed, that's what it is. Well, that's what he said. And he told him, why don't you go down, take your music or don't take it, I don't care. But go down and minister where it's needed. You're ministering to all these Christian audiences, all these Christian things. Said, go down where it's needed. Go to a retirement home. Go to some place where people don't know you. Go somewhere and you minister to them and pour out what God has given you and meet the needs there. See the needs and meet the needs. He said, do it every day this week. Minister to them. See how you can help them. Well, it's the story unfolds. The musician returned a week later with a renewed sense of joy and satisfaction. And he said, you know, seeing their need and that I could meet the need, it lifted me. It snapped him out of his being so caught up on himself, because he was able to be used by God. And he was being used. He was just used in a big way. He was being used in the church, by the church, for the church. But he hadn't gone out to those who didn't have the same luxury. And he used his gift and he blessed people. And it didn't matter if he could have made a lot more money. He made no money. But he made gifts and treasures in the kingdom of heaven that can never be stolen or replaced. So that's the encouragement to you guys today. The sponge is probably full here. Find a place to wring it out. Serve the body for sure. But get out of the church circles and wring it out in a lost world and make disciples of all nations. Get saved, get built, get active. This will ensure that you are prepared for the Lord's coming, even without knowing when it will be.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.